Good morning. Thank you, worship team, for the work you do week after week in the midst of this time of where we don't exactly have the freedom to meet together. And I know it takes a lot of work, so thank you for your part. Thank you, Killian, for your part back there, taking care of the live stream. Nat for the sound. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, and it's a ministry that we haven't done before, so bear with us, those of you who are watching live stream this morning, that we're still learning, trying to get this sorted out and try to do as best we can. If you have any concerns, send me an email. If you can't hear quite well, you can't see things quite well enough, we need to know so that we can make adjustments and try to sort that out. Today we want to break bread together, and the passage that was read this morning, Jacob read for us from Psalm 95, is where I want to start, and I want to focus in on a little bit regards to the greatness of the Lord, and how He is our shepherd, and the shepherding imagery is not one that's unfamiliar in terms of Scripture, but it's one that we don't necessarily think about very much. And yet, all of us really have somewhat of a similar role, especially if we're parents. We have a shepherding role. We're trying to nurture our children. We're trying to help them to have, you know, good understanding. And we're trying to, I'll use the thought, feed them good spiritual food. And that intentionality on our part doesn't sort of happen automatically. It happens because we actually spend time in God's Word and we reflect. And so I'm going to share basically four passages with you. I'm going to give you them right now. If you wanted to write them down, you'll remember them. And then I want you to think about reading these four passages together. Okay, in other words, when you come to one of them, you'll say, you know, I remember now that this takes me to this passage. So we're at Psalm 95, and I'll give you a few more. Psalm 23, Ezekiel 34, and John chapter 10. So those are the passages that we're going to look at. Before we go any further, I'd like to open with a word of prayer, and I want us to just remember some people in prayer. Throughout the week, there have been various prayer requests, and as you're aware, Margaret Ginter's dad passed away, and just want to pray for ongoing comfort for that family. You'll recall that Eva Clausen was taken up to the hospital and went home later that evening, but still recovering, and so I want to pray for her. And as you'll recall, Stan's niece, I believe it's Lizzie, is still in an induced coma down there in South America, and pray for her recovery. Doctors would have wisdom there. And we also mentioned expecting mothers, and so we have Annette, who's expecting a baby any day now, and I texted her yesterday to see if she'd had the baby yet. No, not yet, but looking forward to that. And then Dorothea and Rachel are also expecting, and so let's pray for them this morning. Let's commit our time to the Lord here. Father, thank you for what we've heard here in song. You are the one who is worthy of praise. We recognize, Lord, that we don't do it well, or I don't, wanting to grow in that. And yet, as we do seek to praise you, we want to do so for obvious reasons. First of all, your love to us displayed through your creation, but also demonstrated on Calvary's cross. And then to be told from your word that having believed in you, we have the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with you. And that one day we will be with you. And so we thank you for those promises. And we want to live in anticipation of that moment. That moment when we'll see you face to face. And between now and then, Lord, we want to be found faithful. We want to worship you as you deserve. Father, we want to uphold Margaret Ginter and her family before you as she is grieving the loss of her dad, and just pray that, again, you would be a source of strength for that family. We also want to pray for Stan's niece, Lizzie, as she's in the hospital in South America, and just pray that your hand of mercy be upon her life and that she would be able to be restored to health, that you would watch over and grant doctors wisdom there. Also pray for Eva Clausen's ongoing recovery from pneumonia, and just pray that you would help her to trust you, rest in you, and grant the doctors ongoing wisdom as they seek to treat that. Father, we pray for our expecting mothers, and pray for Annette as she's anticipating having her baby here any day, and just pray that you would watch over her and that little baby and bring that child into the world safe and sound, and grant them as parents to be able to nurture that child and the rest of their family. Pray for Dorothea, and pray for Rachel as they too are expecting, and just thank you for the gift of life, and thank you for these mothers, and for each one, Lord, who has a family, that they would seek you for wisdom, for strength, and pray that you'd watch over our children and take care of them. Pray that you'd help us to understand your word as we look into it here this morning, and pray that others, as others have opportunity to share here this morning, that you would just bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're just going to turn briefly to Psalm 95, and then I'm going to invite others here. You want to come up and share a little bit. So turn with me to Psalm 95, passage that Jacob read. And likely the phrase that that might have caught you is this beautiful statement on verse 6, "Come, let us worship, let us bow down in worship, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Again, the shepherding imagery is one that, by and large, is hard for us who live in the city to capture, but it was a very typical scene in the country of Israel, and still is. There are still a lot of shepherds, a lot of sheep, and as we were traveling through the country, we had seen them in various places, and quite interesting to watch how the sheep were gathered around that shepherd, and weren't straying very far at all. And there were no fences, you know, kind of thing. So the concept, of course, is that really, ultimately, the shepherd is the one who brings us into pastures, cares for us, looking out for us, protecting us, and loving us. And that's the imagery that the Lord wants us to have, and that's an imagery that was consistent throughout the Old Testament. And so hopefully you'll take that to heart. Of course, the psalmist encourages us and challenges us to sing for joy to the Lord, to Yahweh, to shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. And it, again, you're sort of picturing this in a congregation where the nation of Israel had witnessed these miraculous wonders, and we have them preserved in God's word. And at times we see God answering our prayers in a way that we would hope. And again, what happens is that we tend to praise him and give him glory and honor. And that is such a wonderful thing. That's really what we want to be able to do together. And I know that oftentimes in our culture and even in our synthetic environments, so often we lose sight of what it is to just simply be real. And so the Lord wants us to do that. And notice in verse 2, "Let us come before him with thanksgiving, extol him with music and song." And as you work through this psalm, you can sort of see that there's this acknowledgement of God as being creator, being the one who sustains life. And as you'll recall last Sunday, as we looked at Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 23, we saw that passage where people who refuse to acknowledge God in creation, although they knew God, even though they see evidence of God in creation, did not give him the glory, and neither were they thankful. And so the reason why we come together to break bread is so that we would be reminded of what it was that the Lord has done and what he is doing. And so hence we publicly acknowledge with thanksgiving the grace that we've received. I just want to leave it open now to some other fellows that are here this morning. If you'd like to share, just come on up, and may the Lord bless our time together.
Good morning. Just like to read a passage from Philippians chapter 2. I'll start at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your example to us, Lord. Lord, help us to be like you. Help us to love others and to represent you. And we just thank you for who you are, and thank you for your death on the cross. We thank you that we can celebrate today, and as families, as believers, knowing that you care for us and love us, Lord, help us to be your representatives. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I'll get you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and I'll be reading starting at verse 28 and then going into chapter 3 as well. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this wonderful time of communion, Lord, reflecting on your death, the price that you paid for our salvation, for the life that you've given to us, life here, eternal life. Thank you so much. And just as we as believers look forward to your coming, help us to live our lives in such a manner, Lord, that it will be honoring to you, and it will attract others to you, and just that our lives will be positive, Lord, as we witness for you. And thank you also for just being your children. It's such a privilege, and help us to never, ever take that for granted, but help us to appreciate that we are your children and you are our Father. Thank you so much for your love, and just ask you to guide each one's thoughts here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to read from John chapter 15, starting at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to just come before you today and just remembering what you did on the cross for us, Lord, remembering the love that you have for us. I pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged to live a life that honors you, Lord, and that we would be seeking to grow, and Lord, just to live in obedience to you so that we can be impactful on the people around us, Lord. Thank you for this time here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for sharing, gentlemen, just the opportunity to be in your word, God's word, and be able to meditate upon it. Take you to Psalm 23 for a moment. Likely a psalm that many of you have memorized, go to, have heard. But it's a psalm that's actually meant to be more than simply memorized. It's meant to be reflected upon in terms of the truth that's found there. Likely David spent many hours reflecting before he wrote this. He's the one who's credited with having been the author of this psalm. And it's... He likely never thought of you and I reading it. How's that? He likely never thought of people who live in urban cities reflecting on it. And I don't think it was meant to simply be read at funerals. And I know that people do that. And it's not that it shouldn't be read then. But I believe it's meant to be read in a sense or reflected upon every day of your life. And so David begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is the one who is taking care of me. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And again, the scene likely is one in which he led sheep to similar places. And as he sought to care for the sheep and love the sheep, he saw the same imagery in his own life, how the Lord was taking care of him. The start of verse 3 is the finishing thought to verse 2. He restores my life. And that sense of bringing the kind of restoration that you and I need from week to week, day to day. And again, likely these were thoughts that he meditated upon day in and day out. Whenever he had moments to reflect and give thought. And that's really what the breaking of bread service is about. It's meant to be a time of reflection. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to be guided in a right way, in the Lord's way. Righteousness has to do with all the good that God is doing, and that you and I, as his representatives, as we are reminded from Philippians 2, let this mind be in you. And we'll see in John chapter 10 here momentarily that this good shepherd is the one who gave his life for us. Verse 4, which is part of life in terms of from birth to death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that is what we are walking through day in and day out. We witness death every day. It's all around us. And yet we are recipients of life. We are assured of resurrection, and at the same time, we are assured of life in the moment. And so he says, I will fear no evil. Likely the shadow of death for him around him was not necessarily in relation to how we might see it, although that's true. Likely it was the threats that were around him, the bears and the lions and so on. These were realities in terms of affecting the sheep. People taking a shepherd's life so that they could take the sheep and sell them off. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And of course, he as a shepherd had a rod, had a staff, and he was protecting the sheep. And so in turn, he recognized God's protection. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so you lift me up. You take care of me and you show me honor in the presence of my enemies, is what's being meant there. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. The anointing of the head of oil with oil was, of course, one of comfort, but it also speaks of anointing for service. And we see that in Psalm 133 with Aaron. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's what he discovered as he thought about the Lord being his shepherd. The goodness of the Lord. Again, we just need to pause and reflect upon how God is good to us all the time. Reminiscent of what we read in Psalm 145. We've been singing about God's love this morning. And how that is something that God provides for us all the days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's turn to another passage over at Ezekiel 34, and then we'll go to the familiar passage in John chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 34. Verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Now, it's true in the context here, it's national Israel, but we would also have to say anyone who responds to the grace and love of God are now part of his fold. We are the sheep of his pasture, right? And as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look after my sheep. And reminiscent of the statement that was made in the Gospels where he looked upon the people that were there and they were like sheep without a shepherd, scattered. And then we have, I will rescue them. That would be like, I will save them. I will deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. And I'll bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land, and I will tend them in a good pasture, and mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. Again, this is a national promise, but we also see the principle that's there for us to appreciate God's watch care over his people. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, and you can put down Luke 15 next to that, where we have the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Jesus came to seek the lost, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And bring back the strays, and I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. And so as he was performing his miraculous works in healing and raising the dead and bringing sight to the blind and the crippled, getting them to stand and so on. But he says, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy, reminiscent of Matthew 25, where he's going to judge between the sheep. And so often we fail to recognize how tender the Lord's heart is. And so that's why we're here, to reflect upon that. Let's go over to John chapter 10. The whole portion here, all the way down to verse 11, is simply using the imagery of shepherding. Again, not something that was unfamiliar to the people who heard him. Now, there were sheep traveling through the cities, through the city of Jerusalem every day, going to market. Yeah, lamb chops. Yeah, we look at that. Some people like lamb chops. I've never had any, I don't think. I shouldn't say it quite like that. I had some sheep or goat over in Africa. Can't remember. But I sort of saw it in all this meat that was cut up, and I thought, can't quite picture sheep, a lamb kind of thing. I still have... How could I put it? Childlike view of that. I don't really want to eat something that looks so cute. So, chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And again, the voice of our good shepherd is found in Scripture, teaching us how to live, where to feed, where to put our energy, how that we in turn who have received much are to share what we've received with those who are less fortunate, who need to hear the shepherd's voice in Scripture. But they will never follow a stranger, verse 5. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I'm convinced, of course, that verse 16 alludes to you and me, since we're not part of the nation of Israel, and one day we'll know that all people from every nation and tribe will be worshiping the Lord, as we read in the book of Revelation. So let's go back to Psalm 95, and then I'll ask the men to come up, and we'll have breaking of bread together. So how do you respond to this marvelous truth that we've just looked at? Well, the psalmist says we should do so by singing for joy. And while the worship team was singing, I was singing in the back, and many of you would be normally be here, and we'd all be singing together. And there's a future day when we're all going to sing, all the believers of all time will be singing before the Lord. It's a picture that we can hardly imagine, but it's there in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, to help us realize how real that's going to be. So we're given a glimpse there. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And I tend to think there's going to be music in heaven. I don't know who's going to be making it, but maybe some of you who are on the worship team will be there with heavenly instruments. I don't know exactly what that is either. So, and then it says, verse 6, let us bow down and worship. You know, to bow down is to give homage. It's to honor. It's to recognize God for who he is. He is the one who is to be lifted up, to be recognized. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker. Let us kneel before him and give him honor, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. May the Lord bless the time in his word this morning. Ask whoever you had in mind, Corny, to come up and come and break bread here.
Let's pray. Lord, we come to you again, just thanking you for this time that we've been able to enjoy this morning, just reflecting on different passages, reminding us of your gift to us and your great love to us, and knowing that we are your children and that we're secure in you. And as we think of what we're about to do here this morning, Lord, as we remember you and your death, just giving your life so that we could be set free, we just ask you, Lord, to bless the bread as we partake of it, as it represents your body, your broken body, and pray that you will bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 16, it says, "Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." And then in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" John, did you want to come up and give thanks for the cup, please?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for us, that you did that willingly. Thank you that you loved us so much. Pray that you'd help us to live in such a way that expresses gratitude for what you've done for us. I just pray now that you would bless the cup. Amen.
Sent out an email yesterday to just remind you that we were going to be breaking bread today, and so hopefully you were able to prepare. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again. "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ?" In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." "For whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What a privilege it is for us to be able to break bread. And I guess you'd have to say it's amazing that we can do it the way that we're doing it. Many parts of the world, they wouldn't be able to do it because they don't have the technology to do it or the resources. And so I know that as you're viewing and you're participating, that no, it's not the same. But we love one another and we break bread together. We take the time to reflect upon who the Lord is. He is the Good Shepherd. He gave his life for us so that we in turn would be able to love one another. We in turn would tell others about the grace that we received. And that in turn we would live our lives in such a way that people would be drawn to the Savior. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, again, we praise you, we thank you that you sent the Good Shepherd. Ultimately, Lord, we know the imagery in the Old Testament is you are the Good Shepherd. We know that we are dependent upon you. And we thank you for the green pastures that you give us as we read and meditate upon your goodness and are reminded of a future day. But today is also a day in which we can praise you for those acts of creation and salvation, for the gift of love that was demonstrated on Calvary's cross, for the promise of life to all who believe in you, and the assurance of a resurrected life in days to come. Again, we pray for those who are grieving, for those who are ill, for those who are saddened, and those who are struggling emotionally. Pray that you would help each one to draw near to you, to praise you, and to give you glory, even as we've read here in Psalm 95. Thank you for each one who has had a part here this morning. Guide us throughout this coming week. We pray that you would bless the small group ministry, even though it'll be online this coming week. Pray that each one would take the opportunity to join their small group and to pray for one another and to be instructed in your grace. Thank you for our time here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Lord bless.